Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
It's not safe to go back in the water. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lead.
And this is Ghost Town.
It's got Hollywood. It's got death. It's got serial killers. It's got sand. Are you ready?
I was born ready.
You were born ready. Great.
Actually, I wasn't born ready.
Oh, you were like, I'm never ready.
It's like when the DJ's like, who's ready to party? I'm like, I need another 10 minutes. Yeah, I need another 10 minutes, honestly. But
well, you're not going to get it because here we go. On July 26th, 1974, a 9-year-old girl was walking her dog through Race Point Dunes in Provincetown, Massachusetts. Just yards away from the main road, the girl stumbled upon the decomposed body of a woman. We're getting into it. Two sets of footprints led to the body, and tire tracks were found 50 yards away. The body itself was laid face down on half a beach blanket and had significant insect activity. The victim died approximately 2 weeks before she was discovered. After police got to the scene, they determined she was around 5'6" tall, weighed 145 pounds, and had an athletic build. She was estimated to have been between 25 and 40 years old. However, she could have been as young as 20, as old as 50. She also had dental work, including crowns, worth anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000, and one of her teeth had been removed. They called this to New York Dentistry, New York Dental Work, which I couldn't quite find an answer to like what that meant. But I think it meant like she was of a wealth that could handle that amount of money to be put into her dentistry. Both hands and one forearm were missing. Instead, piles of pine needles were gathered to look like her hands. She had long auburn or red hair pulled back into a ponytail with gold-flecked elastic band holding it together. Her toenails were painted pink. A blue bandana and a pair of Wrangler jeans were folded under her head. It was decided that there was no sign of struggle and there were no drugs or alcohol in her system, so she either knew her killer or had been asleep when she died. The woman was nearly decapitated, possibly from strangulation. One side of her head had been crushed with possibly a military-type trenching tool. This head injury was what killed her. There were also signs of sexual assault likely occurring after death. Some investigators feel that the missing teeth, hands, and forearm indicate the killer wanted to hide either the victim's identity or their own identity. Police pored through thousands of missing person cases and a list of approved vehicles driven through the area, but they could not find a match. At the scene of the crime, the sand and beach blanket around the body were not disturbed, suggesting that the body was possibly moved or that specific spot was where her body was found. No other evidence was found despite extensive searches of the dunes. The first facial reconstruction of the woman was created with clay in 1979. Her remains were exhumed in 1980 for examination. No new clues were uncovered, although the skull was not buried at the time and was used again and again for facial reconstruction. If there were some technical facial reconstruction case to use, it would be this one, because more than almost any other case I found, there maybe 8 facial reconstructions of this woman. People kind of became obsessed with what this woman looked like. And we'll see again a little bit why that was later. But you see also the technology of each reconstruction getting better and better, but also looking more and more surreal, like they were using the last one for the, it's that uncanny valley idea where it's like almost human, but not quite. But it's very, very eerie. She has that same kind of like auburn hair. She could be of many ages. And you've got these like similar eyes staring at you in every reconstruction. In 1987, a Canadian woman told a friend that she saw her father strangle a woman in Massachusetts around 1972. Police attempted to locate the woman but couldn't. Another woman who saw the reconstruction told police it looked like her sister who disappeared in Boston in 1974. A lot of people came forward. And this is part of the problem too with all those reconstructions where they look very generic. People are like, oh, I know, I'm from Massachusetts. I was there. This woman was missing. This looks like, she looks very generic too in a way, which was a part of all the leads that went nowhere and also frustrated the case and kind of made it go cold. Investigators also followed a lead involving missing criminal Rory Jean Kessinger, who had been 25 years old at the time of the murder. She broke out of jail in 1973. Authorities saw a resemblance between Kessinger and the victim. However, DNA from Kessinger's mother did not match the victim. The body was buried in October 1974 after the case went cold. In 1981, investigators learned a woman who resembled the victim was seen with mobster Whitey Bulger around the time she died. Bulger was known for removing his victim's teeth. A link to Bulger had not been proven, and he was murdered in prison in 2018, so you can't get to that. But he, again, was a killer, a mobster, highly violent.
The movie Black Mass was involved about him.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp played Whitey Bulger.
Ah. I think that would have been a kind of a convenient thing. Feels a little far-fetched. Tony Costa, a carpenter and serial killer of seven women who would bite and pull hearts, teeth, and ligaments out of his victims as keepsakes, was also an initial suspect, but later he was eliminated. He died in May. The victim was found in July 1974. The body was exhumed again in March 2000 for DNA. A month later, serial killer Haddon Clark led the police to a spot where he claimed he had buried two victims 20 years before. Haddon Clark was a serial killer who murdered women in various states between 1970 and 1990. 4 years later, he confessed to the murder of the lady in the dunes, stating, "I could have told the police what her name was, but after they beat the shit out of me, I wasn't going to tell them shit. This murder is still unsolved, and what the police are looking for is my grandfather's garden." Authorities say Clark suffers from paranoid schizophrenia, a condition which may lead someone to confess falsely to crimes, and authorities still doubt the accuracy of this confession. In fact, it's not really taken seriously, even though he said that multiple times. On December 15, 2000, Clark led the police to his grandparents' former property, where they discovered a plastic bucket with more than 200 pieces of jewelry. Among the items were one of his victims' identified high school class rings. Clark claimed that they were his trophies that he took from his victims. But again, there's no proof to link this woman to this serial killer specifically, and his inconsistencies around the things that he's said make it not a good connection, I suppose. In May 2010, this woman's skull was placed through a CT scanner that generated images that were then used by the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children for another reconstruction. She was exhumed again in 2013. So she was already exhumed three times. At this point, six reconstructions, her skull in and out of the grave. In 2014, mercifully, one of the case investigators raised funds for a new casket because the original thin metal casket was rusted and deteriorated from all of the uses, all of the investigations, not really giving this woman the proper burial that I think she deserved. In August 2015, speculation arose that the Lady of the Dunes may have been an extra in the 1975 film Jaws, which had been shot on Martha's Vineyard, specifically the village of Menemsha, about 100 miles south of Provincetown between May and October 1974. Joe Hill, the son of horror author Stephen King, brought this to police attention after reading The Skeleton Crew, How Amateur Sleuths Are Solving America's Coldest Cases. Great book. Very interesting. He had read it just weeks before. While watching the film's 4th of July beach scene, Hill spotted a woman in the crowd wearing a blue bandana and jeans similar to those found on the body. Although a lead investigator noted interest in this lead, others have described it as far-fetched and speculative. The case remains unsolved.
Well, it's interesting that I would think more people are... You'd think more people would be like, I know somebody that could fit that description and is missing. Where are they?
Yeah.
And it sounds like with, you know, you mentioned the dental work, it's got to be somebody that's not a loner.
Yeah.
Is anyone missing a person?
Yeah, exactly. Or, I mean, I think it was probably a lead that they just didn't follow up. I think maybe someone did come forward and they were like, hey, this is my friend, my sister, whatever, like she's had work. Or I couldn't find out exactly what they presented to the media. So like the information that they put out there to get those reciprocal things. And again, when you see the reconstructions, they all look pretty generic in a frustrating way. So I can see the police not following up on a lead that may have been a family member inquiring.
Yeah, the Jaws thing is also very...
Very weird.
Very weird. I mean,
but it does look a lot. I mean, again, it's generic, but you can kind of see it. Very eerie.
Also, I mean, if they really wanted to, I mean, I don't know if the information can be found. Is there records of people that are officially extras in the movie? I mean, take all those names if you find them. Start cross-referencing. I mean, again, unless people can just wander on the beach for those scenes, or are they locked down sets?
Well, that's what I doubt that there was, like, nowadays, extra, you know, it's like, you here's your ID, like, here's all your information, here's, you're signing all this stuff over. I think from my research on Jaws and this specific scenario, it was a very, like, public shoot, public place. They were just like, we just need hundreds of people, get in here. So I can
that might be an interesting place, though, just
yeah,
for,
the heck,
for somebody who wanted to continue and be like, hey, is there a record of anyone officially that was on that beach that was there in an official capacity?
Yeah. And this is the perfect time where I think someone could solve this, right? Where they didn't have DNA. They're kind of using this case, dabbling in that, and then someone coming forward, you know, knowing something. Like, I think this could still be solved, maybe.
And for some reason, they keep exhuming the body.
Yeah.
They must, I mean, I don't know what the protocol is or why they're doing it, but they must be doing it for a reason where they feel like there's some value to it.
Yeah, definitely. And that's very sad, too. To not have the solved seems very sad, but I think I do. I mean, to give it a little levity, I think it is possible to figure out who this woman was. And to get enough technology and enough word out there where that could be possible. And I hope it is. Lady of the Dunes, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure that's what they said when they were on the case. They're like, Lady of the Dunes.
Lady of the Dunes.
Yeah, like, yep.
It's a very glamorous name.
Yeah.
Could be worse.